Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside Ministry with Brother Bulla Eastman, proclaiming a message of hope and freedom. Let's join Brother Bulla now for today's message.
Aloha, no everyone. Want to welcome everyone once again for tuning in tonight. 99.5 FM, The Word, with Free Inside Ministry. You can call me a lot of things, but just make sure you call me in time for dinner. It's Friday. Ooh, we made it through the week. You know, sometimes these four-day work weeks, man, they take a toll on you. But I'm sure everyone's been busy. I want to just thank everyone for tuning in tonight. Start of another weekend. You know, so lucky we live in the state of Hawaii. People pay thousands of dollars to visit here, yet we call this our home. Hallelujah. You know, I want to just give a shout out to our brothers that are up there in Waiava. How's it, guys? Hope to see you soon. And to our brothers down in Halawa, unfortunately, Pastor Scott was not able to make it to chapel today. And I personally was stuck in some meetings, so I apologize that we could not get there today. OCCC, we're looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Each and every one of you, thank you so much. And FDC will be there on Sunday. I want to give a big shout out to our sisters over there at WCCC in Kailua. Had a wonderful time with 22 of our sisters there last night. And, you know, we're able to actually wrap up parts one and two. Time allowed us to do that last night when we were talking about Job. Tonight is part two of our two-part series talking about Job. And it's just incredible. You know, a lot of times we think our situation is one way, but, you know, it's actually another way. And I wish I had my visual effects. I could show you them on the radio. But we'll get to that another time. You know, Free Inside Ministry is our prison ministry for First Assembly of God Red Hill that reaches out to the broken, to the lost, and to the incarcerated. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, to everyone. You know, and we're in all of the facilities, and our hope, our vision, our dream, our prayer is that you get right with God. It's not about a big church. It's about a big God. We believe that if you get in alignment for your assignment and things are right with God, things will be right with your family. They have an opportunity. They have a chance to make it. That's what we're all about. You know, we have some exciting news. Let me see. Where's my sound effects? Can I get the drum roll? Maybe get the drum roll again. Oh, there we go. Gotta love the Portuguese sound effects. I don't have any sound effects today, so I have to make one. Anyway, big announcement, folks. Big announcement. And you'll be hearing more of it as the information becomes available. But mark this date on your calendar. I'm going to ask you as a brother in Christ, as a pastor, as a minister in the state of Hawaii and God's great creation, Free Inside Ministry, we need your help. Amen. We have been blessed with the opportunity to return to Saguaro Prison in Arizona that houses about 1,600 of our brothers from the 808 there. We will be going there in the latter part of October to do a baptism service. They are expecting over 400 men to be baptized. And this is a wonderful and blessed opportunity. But we are having a fundraiser on October 4th. That is a Friday. In fact, it is 4 weeks from today. And that fundraiser is a concert. It's called Free Saguaro from Free Inside Ministry. It features none other than Hawaii's own Kelly Boy de Lima, Kapena. We also will have a testimony of a former inmate. And then the second half of the concert, if you were to look up this and Google this name, Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, McGuire, M-C-G-U-I-R-E, that is the gentleman who will be coming to play and bless us in the second half of the concert. He is a trumpeter extraordinaire, probably one of the top five trumpet players in the world today. He used to play in the world. He used to play for a group that some of us would recognize if I were to say the name Tower of Power. But, you know, before he played for the world and now he plays for the Lord. He is the chaplain at Saguaro Correctional Community Center out there in Arizona, but he is also a world-renowned trumpeter, and he is going to bless us, and I cannot encourage you enough. The tickets are $20. We're using that to raise funds to get our team up to Arizona. We will have T-shirts available for sale, the same ones you see on our website and also on our Facebook page, Free Inside Ministry Facebook page. And we'll be selling some light refreshments that evening. The concert starts at 6:30, but the doors will open at 5:45 p.m. because we have a special treat for each and every one of you. We have the Free Inside Ministry All Church Band. We have compiled a band, a group of musicians from various churches, as we used in the Convoy of Hope. And it's just about bringing the body of Christ together. My beloved, when we come together in one spirit, one heart, one accord, one mind, one church, for one God, we're making progress. We are defeating the enemy wholeheartedly. It's not about division. And I always say this, unity is of God, division is of the devil. When we come together as one, Abba Father is smiling down upon us. And he's saying, you guys get it? You guys finally get it? Do you guys get it? I mean, it's so easy, but we make it so difficult. You see, I stand against the three D's. I stand against the devil. I stand against the demons. And I stand against division in the body of Christ. We have to come together, my brethren. But you know, our anchor verse for the Free Inside Ministry is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future. That's for each and every one of us. You know, as I mentioned earlier, for those of you still swimming or paddling in the wave of social media, we have our Facebook page, Free Inside Ministry. Our website is www.freeinsideministry.org, where you'll find most of our radio programs. And they're featured in a podcast format, either through iTunes or Google Feedburner. But on the website, if you are able to click onto the link, it'll take you directly to the recorded broadcast for your listening convenience. Amen? Well, we wanted to continue on tonight with the story of Job, because no matter what you're going through, now, is there anybody going through some stuff out there besides me? Is there anybody who's got a situation besides me? Is there anyone out there who's got some junk in their trunk? Don't all stand up at once. But last night, we began the part one of our two-part series about Job. Now, you remember Job, that Lord allowed him to be tested by Satan himself. Job was the wealthiest man in the region at that time, with livestock, with servants, 10 children, and just a wonderful life. First, the devil attacked him and took all of his material goods. Took all of his sheep. He took all of his camels, killed all of the oxen, killed all of the donkeys. And that, even after that, he took away his family. He killed all of his children. He left him his wife, but the 10 children, 7 boys and 3 girls, were killed while celebrating. And then the third thing the devil attacked was his health. You see, that was when the devil came down and put those boils all over his skin, those pus-filled, infected sores that he was scratching away with a broken piece of pottery or glass as he sat in the ashes. I mean, a man that totally had lost everything. But you know what was incredible? And it goes back to Job chapter 1, verse 21. I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. A man who had lost everything in the eyes of the world, and yet he says, praise the name of the Lord. My brothers and my sisters, you know there's power in the name of Jesus. I said there is power in the name of Jesus. In fact, repeat after me right where you're sitting. Say, Lord, heal me in the name of Jesus. Repeat after me. Lord, heal my family in the name of Jesus. Repeat after me. Lord, bless my family in the name of Jesus. Repeat after me. Lord, protect my family in the name of Jesus. You know there's power in the name of Jesus. When light comes, the darkness shall flee. When the name of Jesus is uttered, the demons shall run. There is power in the name of Jesus. So I'm not really sure where we ended up last night with part one, but I know it's probably down to the part at the end of chapter one where everything had happened. And in verse 8 of chapter 2, Job is scraping his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. You can probably see him. It's so itchy. He's probably got pus and blood oozing out of the sores on his body. Not a really wonderful sight. Sitting in the ashes, so there's even more filth and dirt on his body. And his wife, his loving bride, the woman who bore him 10 children, who shared in the wealth that he had amassed over the years to make him the richest man in the region. His loving bride says, "Are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die." Boy, if that isn't reaching the bottom of the bottom and the low of the lows, the one you have committed your life to, the one you said you'd take through sickness and death till you part, through good and bad, happy and sad, your wife is telling you to curse God and die. But you got to love Job's reply, because sometimes, you know, people are going to tell you stuff. People want to give you their advice. People have something they want to share with you. People think that what they are thinking about, or they think that their opinion really matters. And it really doesn't. Amen. How many of you got some friends out there that just give you a whole bunch of bunk that don't even make sense, but they think it's important? You know, I called that, I heard that years ago. It's something called the Oprahfication. That's a big word. Just put the word Oprah and fication together. It's called the Oprahfication of our society. Well, what does that mean, Rev Boo? Hey, I got a new name. I've been thinking about that. Somebody said, hey, everybody goes nuts with the Red Bull, right? You know that energy drink? Well, now they got Rev Boo. That's you, Rev Boo. So if you see me pop up with Rev Boo, I am a credentialed minister, so I might have to use that. So, you know, it was just interesting because, you know, sometimes your friends just give you, they take you down the wrong road, man. They just don't even know what they're talking about. But in this situation, the love of his life, the bride, the woman he married that gave him his family and shared in all his wealth and acquisition of material things, tells him to just curse God and die. But Job is solid. In verse 10 in chapter 2, he says, "But Job replied, 'You talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad?' So in all this, Job said nothing wrong." That's incredible. But you see, Job has three friends. They see him from a distance. They've heard he's had a bad go of it. They come there and they get so upset. They sit down with him for 7 days and 7 nights. No one said a word to Job. But then it's kind of like they start yakking. They start telling him, "Why did this happen to you?" You know, and they start explaining everything that's going on. And Job, he gets a little frustrated. There's a dialogue that's going to keep going on for verses and verses. You know, and it's sometimes he's going to think twice because he knows that the enemy has already come, has attacked him by taking his material things, all his possessions, taking his family, and now even his health. You see, now he's still got those boils all around his body. And this is the dialogue between Job and his friends. But, you know, it's sometimes in chapter 6, and we're a lot like this with Job. And it's in chapter 6 in verse 2, and he says, "If my misery could be weighed and my troubles be put on the scales, they would outweigh all the sands of the sea. That's why I spoke impulsively." And then he goes, "For the Almighty has struck me down with his arrows. Their poison infects my spirit. God's terrors are lined up against me." You know, like verse 5. "Don't I have a right to complain?" My translation was, I wrote on the side, "Don't I have a right for my pity party?" Anybody here been in a pity party? The woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. Why is this happening to me? Why did God do this to me? Why does everybody hate me? Why doesn't anybody love me? I think I'm going to eat a can of worms and die. You know, we all get into that place. Let's, come on, be real. We all get into situations where we just say, why me, man? Although you might have done some wrong. Remember where we're at when we're incarcerated. But we might have done something wrong, but it wasn't wrong. Okay, it was bad, but it wasn't bad. It was illegal, but it wasn't illegal. Well, Brother Bula, what are you talking about when you talk double talk? I said, look, guys, it's like this. How do I explain it real easy so you understand? You know when your girlfriend or if you're married and your wife comes home and you said, oh, you went shopping. And they tell you, honey, it wasn't shopping. Huh? Or how's it? So it's like in high school or in college, your first love. And you, I hear girl, you know, your girlfriends, the girls used to get together and they always talk about, they said, so did you kiss him? Yeah, we kissed, but it wasn't a kiss. It was just a kiss. You know, it's just like, what? When the wife talks to the husband, so what? You went drinking again. Yeah, but was drinking, wasn't drinking. So sometimes we get into that local language, man. I just love it. It's like, so does two make it worse than one? Because two is greater than, I don't even know. Bottom line, just remember, he is greater than I. Hallelujah. So Job is having his pity party. And, you know, he's just talking to himself, talking to his friends. And in chapter 7, is not all human life a struggle? Our lives are like that of a hired hand, like a worker who longs for shade, like a servant waiting to be paid. I, too, have been assigned months of futility, long and weary nights of misery. You know, he's acknowledging that life is a struggle. And then in chapter 10, he's getting really bitter now. He goes, I'm disgusted with my life. Let me complain freely. Now, remember, Job is the guy who had everything. You know, the hundreds of heads of sheep, the camel, the donkeys, the family. In fact, his sons, their job was to be party planners. Where are we going to party? What are we going to eat? What's the menu? Who's coming? Okay. Hey, next week is your turn. Okay, let's plan that party too. But you see, what happens is we always look at things in the way that we see things. We don't understand that sometimes we have to have the eyes of Christ to understand what's going on in our lives. But a lot of times we don't realize that because we want to make things easy for us. And it's in those times when we try to make things easy for us is when we miss the whole lesson that God is trying to share with us. You know, and I was sharing that last night. If you flipped over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, and it says, that is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And you go, oh, Bula, what is that talking about? I said, because we have the eyes of ourselves. We're not seeing it as God sees it. God has a far greater vision, far greater understanding of what's going on in the world. But in our littleness, in our way that we look at things, we try and have it in our perception. But back in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, and we can go as far as, let's start with chapter 55, verse 6, book of Isaiah. Verse 6, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, yet turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. Verse 8 is the kicker. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You know, so here we have a situation with Job who's lost everything. And he starts complaining. He starts listening to his friends. And he starts putting up this argument against the Creator, against the Alpha and the Omega. Have you ever been there in your life, my beloved, where you start questioning God? God, why me? God, why you do this to me? You know, as I explained before, there's three stages in a believer's life. Just as a three stages in a man's life. You know, the first stage in a man's life is, oh, my dad, he can pound your dad. My daddy like Superman and Batman all combined in one. My dad going rear naked choke BJ Penn your dad. Your dad going tap. My dad is bad, bro. That's the first stage of a man's life. The second stage of a man's life is, dad, you don't understand. Come on, dad. That's old school. You probably had dinosaurs outside in your yard when you was going to school. You probably had one 8-track in your truck or something, dad. Come on, I'm 18, dad. I just graduated. I know what I'm doing. Dad, I know. Come on, give me a break, dad. I know what I'm doing. 2014, this is the modern days now, okay, dad? That's the second stage where many of us have found ourselves to be at one time or another, or even now have our sons acting like that towards us. Imagine that coming full circle, amen. But you see, the third stage of a man's life is, You know, my father used to say, you know, it's at that time in your life where you realize the value, you realize the impact, you realize the knowledge and the wisdom that your father actually had. Isn't it amazing how smart your parents get the older you get? You ever think about that? But you see, it's comparable to that of being a believer. The stages of a believer's life. Because you see, in that first stage is, oh, Jesus, praise Jesus, hallelujah, praise his name, blessed is his name, oh, hallelujah, Jesus, you're the rock, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We all go through that first stage of initial love, admiration, adoration. Nothing can go wrong. We're solid as a rock. Jesus is my fortress. Jesus is my savior. That's before the trials come. That's before the tests come. That's before the challenges come. That's before the chaos around you surrounds you. And it overtakes the calmness in your heart. You see, because the next stage of a believer's life is, oh God, why you do this to me? You don't even listen to my prayers. Why even pray? You don't listen. Look where I'm at. Thanks, sir. Thanks, yeah. Chosen one. Right, I got chose for this. Amen. Yeah, Raja, Raja. Yeah, hallelujah to you too, God. We've all been there. Where we've doubted not so much our faith, but we've doubted our God. But yet it's our faith in God that has weakened, not the strength of our God alone. Hallelujah. Because Jesus Christ is the same who was and is to come. 2,000 years ago, the word of the Lord was still here. Today, the word of God is still in front of us. In 2,000 years from now, the word of God will remain with us. Hallelujah. Kingdoms will fall. Governments will crumble. Societies will fall away. But the word of God stands true. The authorized, the inspired, the inerrant, the infallible word of God is true. The true word of God. Because you see, after that second phase in a believer's life where you question God's intentions, then it comes to the third stage. In a believer's life where you say, I am not worthy of God's mercy and grace. I am not worthy of the blood that redeemed my sins on the cross. I'm not worthy of God's love. You see, once again, you come full circle to the realization of the importance, of the value, of the impact that Jesus Christ has, that he is the one. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the bright and shining morning star. He is the author and the finisher. He is the beginning and the end. He is the one who was and is to come. He is everything. But you see, what happens is the Lord has heard enough from Job when you get down to chapter 38. And this is where it gets gnarly, man. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind, chapter 38, verse 2. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. Ooh, you ever grow up and you hear your dad say, hey, take this like a man, stand up. You know you're going to get cracks. Right here, God is getting ready to crack Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you know so much, who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundations, and who laid its cornerstone? As the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy, who kept the sea inside its boundaries as it burst from the womb, as I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it in thick darkness? For I locked it behind barred gates, limiting its shores. I said, this far no further will you come. Here your proud waves must stop. Have you ever commanded the morning to appear and caused the dawn to rise in the east? Have you made daylight spread to the ends of the earth to bring an end to the night's wickedness? As the light approaches, the earth takes shape like clay pressed beneath a seal. It is robed in brilliant colors. The light disturbs the wicked and stops the arm that is raised in violence. As he goes on further, where does light come from and where does darkness go? Does the rain have a father? Who gives birth to the dew? Who is the mother of the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens? For the water turns to ice as hard as rock, and the surface of the water freezes. You see, the Lord goes on and on to explain to Job just who he is. But you see, there's a good ending to this story. Because in chapter 42 in the book of Job, it's Job's turn to speak to the Lord. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. You asked, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I. And I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. You said, listen and I will speak. I have some questions for you and you must answer them. I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said. and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. Well, it goes on further in verse 10. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. Listen to that. When Job prayed for his friends, what did Job do? He prayed. For who? Oh, for his friends. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than in the beginning. For now he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. Job lived 140 years after that, living to see 4 generations of his children and grandchildren. Then he died an old man who had lived a long and full life. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, where you're sitting right now might be the edge of your bed. It might be in your bunk. It might be looking out at that window at the stars that are shining tonight in the skies above you. Just like Job, you might be going through a situation. Just like Job, you might have a problem that you're trying to answer. Just like Job, you have something going on in your life that you might not have all the answers. Just like Job, you have to hold on to your faith. Just like Job, you have to believe that God is still in control, that he didn't put a storm in your life to blow you off course. God put a storm in your life to blow you on course. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, look what happens to Job in the second half of his life. He was given everything and doubled in portion. Hallelujah. You are probably in the first half of your life. Now, I'm not talking physically. I'm talking metaphorically. I'm not talking by calendar years or years of age. I'm talking about metaphorically. I'm talking analogously. I'm talking about where you are in the stage of your life. You might be in the first half of your life. Look what happened to Job. But he prayed for his friends. After he prayed for his friends, the Lord blessed them. Maybe we should start praying for our friends more. You know, the whole story about Job is he had everything taken away. The devil took away his material things. The devil took away his family. The devil took away his health. But what the devil couldn't take away was his faith. Hallelujah. You see, it's in those times, my brothers and sisters, when we want to let go of our faith, when we got to hang on. We're right around the corner. We're right around the bend from a breakthrough, from a miracle. Don't stop believing in the God that we serve. Don't stop believing that he is still in control, because he is, my brothers and sisters. I tell you that tonight. As real as I'm breathing today, he is real. Think about that tonight. Think about Job. Think about your life, the first half, but think about the second half.
You've been listening to Free Inside Ministry with Brother Bulla Eastman. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope today's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. And remember, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed, free inside. Until next time, may God bless you.